This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll start with Thursday Night Football, and then we'll get to this toilet bowl out of MetLife Stadium. I have to admit, at the beginning of the year, I didn't think a whole lot of the Oakland Raiders. I was very concerned about the Antonio Brown dynamic with Oakland. I was concerned that maybe the game had passed John Gruden by to some degree. I wondered about Derek Carr coming off what was a subpar 2018 season, and the Raiders trading away at Khalil Mack. And would they be able to mentally recover from that? Well, basically a year removed from that trade, a couple of months removed from the most bizarre and odd and honestly a saga that I think everybody would like to forget involving Antonio Brown. All of a sudden, the Oakland Raiders have discovered a little juju. All of a sudden, the Oakland Raiders have discovered how to win. And for a guy who didn't think the Oakland Raiders were going to sniff 6.5 wins this year, I give him a ton of credit. They're not only going to go over that win total, they are going to be a factor, I think, in trying to get themselves into the postseason. The Raiders can find their way into the tournament with a weak schedule down the stretch and with a 5-4 record after taking down the LA Chargers in come-from-behind fashion there in the fourth quarter. What helps Oakland a ton, and this is where you got to give their GM, Mike Mayock, a ton of love and a ton of credit. They made it a priority to get better on the offensive line. They made sure they were going to beef up on the offensive line, they were going to draft on the defensive line, and that they were going to be a team that was going to win the trenches. It sounds so simplistic. It sounds so basic because it's something that we talk about over and over again. You want to win, you got to be able to protect, you got to be able to run it, you got to be able to get after your quarterback. Well, the Raiders can do all of those things. You saw that against the Chargers. Look at the impact that young Josh Jacobs has had coming over from Alabama. He has gone to that team and has looked great. Now, he's a dynamic runner. He's multi-purposed, but it's not just his talents. It's Ed Brown from New England. It's Ed and Incognito. Say what you want about him personally. That's the guy you want going to war for you. That's a guy who is going to be one of the better offensive guards in the sport. Then you look defensively. A lot of people raised the eyebrows when the Raiders took Farrell out of Clemson. A lot of people thought that was a reach in the top five of the draft. Well, didn't seem like a reach with the way he was able to disrupt Phillip Rivers in this game. And the Raiders were very lucky in the first half. I mean, the Chargers just gave the Raiders a couple of gifts. I mean, Phillip Rivers sails the receiver early. Then he throws the pick six. But then it looked like the Chargers had kind of stabilized control of this game. And I'll admit, from an officiating standpoint, it was poorly officiated. It felt like it was penalty flag after penalty flag after penalty flag. In fact, the last drive of the game for the Chargers in which they scored a touchdown, so their second to last drive of the game, just littered with penalties, third down flags, pass interference calls, you name it. Tough to watch. And I wondered if the Raiders were going to be able to survive that. And to their credit, they converted some third downs. Carr made some throws. And they controlled the line of scrimmage. But one note to Anthony Lynn. In a one-score game, what the hell are you doing? Keeping all your timeouts and pocketing them? And I understand the Raiders kind of scored quickly. Sure, with two and a half minutes to play. But what exactly were the Chargers looking to do on their final drive of the game? Did they realize they were only down a field goal? Did they realize that they could use the middle of the field and dink and dunk and get 5 and 6 and 7 yards at a clip? It's what was working for them for a good majority of the game, and they completely went away from that. So for Anthony Lynn, their new offensive coordinator, it's a bad look. But the Chargers right now, a very disappointing 4 and 6 on the year. And I get it. They've had injuries. But they've also lost a lot of games they easily could have won. That's the Chargers' MO. They're basically in every single game. Basically, every Charger game, it feels like it's decided within a touchdown. Either in their favor, either going against them. And there are a couple plays here, a couple plays there that determine win or loss. But the Chargers now at 4 and 6. They could be playing themselves into thinking long and hard about life after Philip Rivers. And I know they've had things go against them this year. But if I'm the Chargers, he's not getting any younger. I got a talented young core. I'm in a spot in this draft where I can get a quarterback. That's something I'm absolutely doing. Amazing how we could be saying goodbye to all three members of that fabled quarterback class of 2004. Ben Roethlisberger, who knows what the deal is with his injury. Phillip Rivers' team is 4 and 6 on a year. And we know Eli Manning is not going to be playing quarterback next year. And is probably going to ride off into the sunset. Makes you marvel that much more about a guy like Tom Brady, who continues to do it week after week after week. So the Raiders in great shape. Great, great shape at 5 and 4. The Chargers, their season, could argue it's on life support with a record of 4 and 6. And if you look at their schedule, Oakland, Bengals at the Jets, at the Chiefs, home Titans, home Jaguars, at the Chargers, at the Broncos, Raiders could get to 10 and 6 with that schedule. That is not far-fetched. That is not outrageous at all. So a lot of people spit what John Gruden and Mike Mayock were looking to do. I know I was very critical. They spit back in a big way. Give them credit. Whole lot of credit. So the Oakland Raiders, winners on Thursday Night Football, and it's nice coming in here, hitting your first NFL game of the week. You're kind of floating, getting ready for the weekend. And listen, as we get ready now for the Jets and the Giants and the game that is being billed, the Toilet Bowl, out at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, involving a 1-7 Jet team and a 2-7 Giant team. It's really a matter of how bad can it get for each? How low can each of these individual teams go? For the Jets, you kind of get the sense rock bottom already happened. Taking on the Miami Dolphins, losing to a winless team, losing to a team that, let's be perfectly honest, is very much okay with the idea of losing. Thinking ahead, thinking about their quarterback position next year. And they got whooped by that same Dolphin team. Not exactly going to inspire confidence in Adam Gase that he's the right man for the job. But as the Jets now go up against the Giant defense, that basically everybody around the league, with the exception of Washington, has lit up. I mean, this Giant defense has played poorly all year. They have gotten gashed all year. For Sam Darnold and his Jet offense, if this can't be a get-right game for them, when exactly is that get-right game coming? We said this last week with the Dolphins and the Jets, and I kind of feel this way with the Jet-Giant game this week. Both of these defenses are beyond putrid. I mean, the Jets aren't going to have Darrell Roberts play. The Jets, we know, are depleted at linebacker, and they have no pass rush. And the Giant defense is a mess. I would expect Sunday a whole lot of points between these two teams. Unless it's just going to be a turnover fest and it's going to be ineptitude at its finest, I would expect this to be an up-and-down-the-field type of game. For Adam Gase to have any hope of saving his job and avoiding the fate of being a one-and-done head coach. And I think many Jet fans, no matter what they see down the stretch, they're going to say, he should be a one-and-done head coach, and I'm not going to fight you on that. Because that is how bad this team has looked. That is how bad this quarterback has looked. That is how bad the overall look, feel, everything combined into one has been for the New York Jets. His only hope, though, is Sam Darnold starting to right the ship and play a lot better. But I would argue, because of how bad it has been for Gase and the Jets, not that it's been much better for the Giants at 2-7, but the effort has been better. The optics have been better. I would argue the coach that's got more pressure on him to deliver, the coach that has more pressure as far as making sure your team doesn't go and lay an egg, for me, it's Pat Shurmur. And the reason it's Pat Shurmur is twofold. He's been here a second year. John Mara does not particularly like the New York Jets. I think that's a nice way of putting it. Even though they share a stadium, even though they're going to pretend to play nice, the idea of the dysfunctional dumpster fire 1-7 Jets sticking it to the New York Giants, the loser of this game, whoever it may be, is going to be feeling the heat. But I think that shame and that embarrassment from what is supposed to be a very proud Giant fan base and a very proud Giant franchise could have quite the trickle-down effect for Shurmur's future and what ownership may think of this head coach. You don't want to gain that reputation of being an organization that's firing a coach every 2 or 3 years. You don't. Because then you're the Cleveland Browns. Then you're all of a sudden dysfunctional. But both these teams are dysfunctional, so who am I kidding? There's certain levels, I guess you could say, of dysfunction. Giants right now, they don't have that dysfunction. They just kind of seem bad more than anything. Rookie quarterback, young, inexperienced defense. The Jets have had all the storylines going against them. The Jets have been the butt of all jokes. From Ghosts to losing to the Dolphins to getting outclassed by the Dolphins. Sunday's game, as bad as it may be, I gotta admit, I'm kind of looking forward to it. That might make me a little sick in the head. I know. No, I'm well aware of that. But I am curious to basically get a glimpse of the rubble, to get a sense for what the fan reaction is out there. Now, I had a buddy text me earlier in the day. He said he's going to the game. And I said, what is your problem? I said, what is wrong with you? He goes, we got the tickets early in the year. I kind of had no choice. And I get that. And I know for many of you, it's institution to be going out to MetLife Stadium to root on your football team. Nobody in a million years could have said at the beginning of the year, this Jet-Giant game that we see only basically every 4 years would be the battle of 1-7 and 2-7. It's like looking at that bad car wreck on the side of the road. You know you should keep going, but how do you not stop and observe the damage? That damage will be on full display burning Sunday at 1 o'clock. But yet I'm quite fascinated by it. Not going to lie. Let's hope the next time the Jets and the Giants play in the regular season, it's a whole lot more intriguing for the right reasons and not these reasons we're looking at. But we'll cross that bridge in 4 years.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.